Well, I think the first obvious thing to say is that the GDR was formed on the territory of Germany that was occupied by the Red Army, the Soviet army, at the end of the Second World War. So even before the war was ended, the Allies, Britain, America and the Soviet Union, and eventually also France, agreed to divide Germany up into four different zones. And the GDR, in a territorial sense, is what was the Soviet occupation zone. So between 1945 and 1949, it is formally known as the Soviet occupation zone, and then it turns into the German Democratic Republic. Anti-communists in the West continued long after 1949 to refer to the German Democratic Republic as the zone or the Soviet zone. They didn't recognise it as a legitimate government, but merely that part of Germany that was occupied by Soviet troops. And to some extent, that was what it was until it ended in 1990. It was an area, a territory, which had a lot of Soviet troops in it. How did it become from an occupation zone into a state? Well, it's important to think there's no direct inevitability about this. The Soviet Union had not decided in 1945 that it definitely wanted to create a separate country out of its occupation zone. In many ways, Stalin and the Soviet leadership were more interested in the industrial resources of the Ruhr area, which in spite of all the British and American bombing was still quite a resource-rich area. So they, to some extent, they pursued a twofold policy, hedged their bets, but they weren't necessarily bent from the very beginning on creating a separate German state on that territory. How did it happen? Well, on the ground, the Soviet, as the Red Army came into the territory that it occupied, it, of course, it bought lots of agents, German communists who had lived in exile in the Soviet Union during the Nazi period, and had them on the ground build up a communist presence in the education system, in the police force, in the universities, in order to establish a power base for the Communist Party, what was called the Socialist Unity Party from 1946, in the Soviet occupation zone. But that still doesn't mean that the Kremlin, at the very senior level, had definitely decided that this was the path it was going to take. It was still hedging its bets. And so the broader picture, of course, is the Cold War, the falling out at a global level of the Western allies, America, Britain and France, with the Soviet Union. And that took place in all in the various flashpoints all over the world. But particularly in Europe, I guess, a key moment when relations got very bad was in 1948. Firstly, the communist coup in Czechoslovakia in February 1948. And then the Western powers deciding in June 1948 that they wanted to create a new currency in their zones to abolish the black market, or to take the to prevent the black market from thriving in their occupation zones. They introduced a new currency, and not only did they do that in the Western zones, but in the Western military sectors of Berlin, which was in the West Berlin was in the middle of the Soviet occupation zone, and Stalin mounted a blockade of West Berlin in opposition to this. The blockade failed. Eventually, Stalin lifted the blockade by May 1949. But by that time, West Germany's estate was clearly coming into being. And Stalin then decided that his option was to create, in opposition to the West German state, an East German state with its own currency, and to make it a state that was clearly not only a left-wing state, but one that was becoming more and more communist in the Soviet model. And nonetheless, it's worth thinking about this. Even after the creation of the German Democratic Republic, there was no sense necessarily that it was going to be a permanent state. And the leaders of East Germany, the East German leadership, were, at least until the building of the Berlin Wall in 1961, were constantly worried that the Kremlin might do a deal with the Western powers for broader reasons, which would involve selling the GDR out, you know, using it as a bargaining tool. So, for instance, Stalin in 1952 made an offer, historians debate how genuine this offer was, for a neutral but united Germany. in which all the occupation powers withdraw their troops, the Western powers and the Soviet Union, and Germany becomes a united but neutral country, neither a member of NATO nor a member of what in 1955 became the Warsaw Pact. Now, whether this could have happened or not, whether Stalin was simply trying to make mischief, is difficult to say. But this is what happened in Austria. Austria was divided into four occupation zones in 1945. But in 1955, a state treaty was signed where all the Western powers and the Soviet Union withdrew their troops from Austria, and it became a neutral. In the Cold War, Austria was a neutral country, not a member of NATO, not a member of the Warsaw Pact alliance. Even in the late 50s, the East German leaders like Walter Ulbricht worried that the Kremlin, Khrushchev, might just come to an arrangement with Eisenhower or Kennedy that involved solving the German problem in a way that meant that the German Democratic Republic didn't exist. So the building of the Berlin Wall, which I'm sure we're going to come on to, one thing it did do at least was reassure the East German leaders that the Kremlin was committed to creating a viable state called East Germany and to having it exist for a long time.